O'Brien stood up with a satisfied air. Over to his left, Winston saw the man in the white coat break an ampoule and draw back the plunger of a syringe. O'Brien turned to Winston with a smile. In almost the old manner, he resettled his spectacles on his nose. "Do you remember writing in your diary?" he said, "that it did not matter whether I was a friend or an enemy, since I was at least a person who understood you and could be talked to?" "You were right. I enjoy talking to you. Your mind appeals to me. It resembles my own mind, except that you happen to be insane. Before we bring the session to an end, you can ask me a few questions, if you choose."
"Any question I like?"
"Anything." He saw that Winston's eyes were upon the dial. "It is switched off. What is your first question?"
"What have you done with Julia?" said Winston.
O'Brien smiled again. "She betrayed you, Winston. Immediately, unreservedly. I have seldom seen anyone come over to us so promptly. You would hardly recognize her if you saw her. All her rebelliousness, her deceit, her folly, her dirty-mindedness, everything has been burned out of her. It was a perfect conversion, a textbook case."
"You tortured her?"
O'Brien left this unanswered. "Next question," he said.
"Does Big Brother exist?"
"Of course he exists. The party exists. Big Brother is the embodiment of the party."
"Does he exist in the same way as I exist?"
"You do not exist," said O'Brien. Once again the sense of helplessness assailed him. He knew, or he could imagine, the arguments which proved his own non-existence, but they were nonsense. They were only a play on words. Did not the statement, "You do not exist," contain a logical absurdity? But what use was it to say so? His mind shriveled as he thought of the unanswerable, mad arguments with which O'Brien would demolish him.
"I think I exist," he said wearily. "I am conscious of my own identity. I was born, and I shall die. I have arms and legs. I occupy a particular point in space. No other solid object can occupy the same point simultaneously. In that sense, does Big Brother exist?"
"It is of no importance. He exists."
"Will Big Brother ever die?"
"Of course not. How could he die? Next question."
"Does the Brotherhood exist?"
"That, Winston, you will never know. If we choose to set you free when we have finished with you, and if you live to be 90 years old, still you will never learn whether the answer to that question is yes or no. As long as you live, it will be an unsolved riddle in your mind." Winston lay silent. His breast rose and fell a little faster. He still had not asked the question that had come into his mind the first. He had got to ask it, and yet it was as though his tongue would not utter it. There was a trace of amusement in O'Brien's face. Even his spectacles seemed to wear an ironical gleam. "He knows," thought Winston suddenly. "He knows what I'm going to ask." At the thought, the words burst out of him.
"What is in room 101?
The expression on O'Brien's face did not change. He answered dryly, "You know what is in room 101, Winston. Everyone knows what is in room 101. He raised a finger to the man in the white coat. Evidently the session was at an end. A needle jerked into Winston's arm. He sank almost instantly into deep sleep.